Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Portal to Ascension Radio. This is Neil, your host, and thank you all so much for being with us here today. This is our series of radio shows in which we are bringing on presenters that are going to be at our live conference, the Portal to Ascension Conference, that's taking place in October of 2018, and it's going to be close to the 1,000th, like if at least 1,000th, but maybe even more, event production that we've actually done in the last 8 to 10 years of producing events, retreats, tours, conferences, expos, holistic fairs. We've done a lot of events. So everything has led up to this moment, really has. And this year, we are just taking it to a whole new level of awareness. What was once alternative is now becoming mainstream, whether it's in regards to ancient civilizations, the truth of extraterrestrials and UFO disclosure, or the nature of consciousness. Right now, in this mainstream science, seem to hit roadblocks, whether it's Newtonian physics, realizing that there's a quantum world that isn't connecting to quantum physics, or whether it's medical care and the pharmaceutical industries and the cure for cancer and chemotherapy and all these conventional means that seem to not be healing us and assisting us core level so that we can live empowered, sovereign lives on this planet. So it's really exciting because what is happening externally from us is truly a reflection of what's within. I'm really excited and motivated to take this to a whole different dimension of awareness. So what we're going to be doing this year is traveling the whole entire planet, spreading this awareness, going to local communities from small towns and villages to a large one, basically telling people the truth of who they are and assisting them in remembering and finding their own inner truth and listening to themselves. I personally feel that the time of the self-guru is now, that the time when we listen to pastors and priests and gurus, the time when we listen to, our parents have been kind of raising us in unconscious ways because they just did the best they can with the tools they had, that time is on its way out. And the time for realizing our own inner truth and our own inner wisdom is really here. So the Portal to Ascension Conference in October is going to be all about that. After over 200 events that we're doing this year before October 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2018, all those events are leading up and funneling into the big one. So when in October we're all sitting there in Irvine, California, it's going to be, rather than a presentation and spreading this awareness to fire people, which is what it's really going to be doing also, but it's also going to be really a celebration of where we have come and what we have done. Because this year, we're speaking to governments. We're taking whistleblowers on tour and putting their awareness out. We're debuting information that has never been here before, a lot of new information in regards to the realm of consciousness. So I'm extremely excited to have an all-star lineup. It really is. Like, some amazing people are going to be there, and they're just going to be adding their awareness and adding their insight and their love and compassion to the experience of the conference. So what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks now is radio shows with different presenters that are going to be there. Yesterday we had Robert Schopp, we had Peter Sterling, we had other presenters the week before, and we're going to keep doing that for a couple of weeks. We're going to spread this awareness and get it out there and let you know and who these people are that are going to show up at the event. So today we're going to have another presenter on who is going to be at the conference. Her name is Michaela Sheldon, and she is an intuitive channel. And let me pull up a bio here. She's an intuitive channel who has an open connection to a variety of guides, master teachers, interdimensional beings, and collectives, including Mary Magdalene, the Pleiadians, and the Council of Light. Michaela channels detailed information about our history, structure, ascension, and transition to a fifth-dimensional consciousness. Her awakening came during the struggle with debilitating chronic pain. Through her connection to Source and her guides, Michaela completely healed herself, leaving her mainstream life behind to fully pursue her soul's purpose as a channel. So I'm not going to say all of her bio here because I want her to tell you, but I'm extremely excited to have Michaela on because we've been, rotating in the same circles for quite some time, but we've never really done anything or collaborated together. So this is our first true collaboration. And she's going to bring a different component to the conference because we're going to have a lot of information, a lot of awareness, a lot of researchers. So she's going to be really the, everyone I would say is their own intuitive channel in their own way, but she's going to be the only conscious intuitive channel coming there to be that channel in order to bring that vibration and bring that, you know, that that left side, that creative energy, that feminine energy of channeling and spirituality to the conference that where we're going to be providing a lot of awareness, information, and research. So I'm going to go ahead and bring her on right now. Let's see. Michaela, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Neil. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for being with us, Michaela. And I'm extremely excited, as you heard, to have you part of this event. And the whole concept of the fact that, you know, when I first got into consciousness, I was into channeling. Channeling was everything for me. And I did, Bashar was huge for me, and Adronis. Are you familiar with Adronis at all?
Adronis. I am. Yeah. I can't say I've listened to a lot of the channeling, but I'm definitely familiar. Yeah.
Right. So Brad, we actually did his first event for him as a channel when he was coming out to do channeling. And I went up to Vancouver, and we created a conference, and his first live event was our event. After that, the first tour that we did was a tour with Adronis, basically going to over 40 cities up and down the coast of the West Coast, bringing serious channeling to small towns to big towns. So I feel first contact really is going to be us all channeling and connecting with our higher selves and our guides. So I want you to start out, but just like, tell us about yourself, how you got into this, and what your whole approach is to channeling.
Okay, well, yeah, it's been probably about 4 years now that I've really been doing this out in the world. So I'm a newbie here on the scene, although I have to say for quite some time was kind of a closet channel. And fell into this was not at all what I planned to do with my life. I was not even in this conversation. Very mainstream, you know, mainstream world. Got a marketing degree, worked in the business world, had kids, decided to stay at home, was the PTA vice president, the Brownie troop leader, you know, really lived that classic lifestyle. And, you know, as you mentioned in my bio, ended up in the midst of a struggle with chronic pain. And I really feel like, you know, we all have something within us that we're meant to awaken to. That's this just unique superpower, right, that we hold. It's like a puzzle piece that we're here to connect to the collective with. And if we don't live that, something is going to come along and rock our world to help us align, right, with this truth. And this is what this pain was for me. So, you know, just like you mentioned, a lot of the conventional mainstream medical practices that we're seeing right now, you know, ready to bridge into new things, I was really failing in that world, you know, on that hamster wheel of going every year, getting tests and prescriptions. I was on antidepressants. I was washing it down with alcohol, getting worse and worse and worse. And had actually started to have my nerves ablated, was afraid to drive, had stopped driving. And what happened to me was the universe kind of picked me up and put me in this new location. My family made a move across town, and I had all this support around me in this mainstream world. People knew of my condition, you know, and they were like taking care of me. They were getting groceries for me. And I ended up somewhere where I didn't have any support. And I went through this really dark time and had to look at myself in the mirror and say, you know, this isn't the way I want to live. I had this defining moment. I was in this pain medicine, this pain med clinic, right, where they were doing all these procedures, ablations. And I looked from side to side, and I was 40 years old at the time. And I was the youngest person in there by far. And so I ended up exploring, now not for any spiritual purpose, but because I was in chronic pain, exploring meditation, because I had stumbled into some information that meditation would help me to disconnect from my pain or to lower my pain levels. And so, you know, after all these failed attempts, I thought this was worth a shot. And, you know, I'm like this A-type personality. I do everything to a T. So I scheduled my meditations regularly, morning, afternoon, evening. And I fell into meditation real easy. You know, I know some people struggle with it, but for me, it was just real strange. I just fell into it like it was something I've done forever. And I started to notice some crazy things happening. I started to hear things. I was hearing voices. I was getting messages. And even when I wasn't in meditation, just walking about my day and, you know, physically noticed my pain levels were getting better. But I would have casual conversations with people and start to hear things out loud in my, like in my head that sounded like they were saying it out loud, but I'd scratch my head. I'd question and say, did they really say that to me? Because it wouldn't fit into the conversation, right? It was something real personal about them. And so I had this defining moment. I love to tell this story. It was Christmas 2010. I was making a big dinner at my house. I was having the whole family over, you know, big party. And I was making this recipe and got up that morning real excited to make the recipe and went to the pantry, opened the door, and realized I had forgotten to buy three very key ingredients, okay, for this recipe. I was making a beef tenderloin that day, and there was a red wine, a beef stock, and a spice that I was missing. And I thought, no problem, can mock this thing up. You know, I got out a stool, started pushing stuff around, didn't find anything close to what I needed. So it's Christmas morning, you know, none of the stores are open. I'm starting to panic because I have these people coming to my house. And my practice at that time was, if I got stressed, stress would equal pain. So if I got stressed, I'd go straight to meditation because I didn't want my pain to get any worse. So that's what I did. I closed the bedroom door, told the kids, mom needs a couple minutes, and went into this very deep meditation. And then I heard three words that forever changed my life. And it was in a deep male voice, as if in the room with me. And those words were, I am Jacob. And it shook me. It shook me out of the meditation. I was kind of surprised. And I started to look around the room and try to communicate back with this Jacob. And I didn't get anywhere that day. But I just felt this peaceful, blissful, buzzy energy. And the stress was gone. The pain was gone. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I can salt and pepper this thing. It's Christmas morning, right? So I walked outside of the bedroom door, went back to the pantry, and there on the shelf, in a very neat row, right at eye level, in three sealed containers, were the ingredients that I needed. And I was overjoyed, and I didn't understand that at the time. I thought, okay, you know, I had manifested something into my physical reality, or Jacob heard me, you know, and provided what I needed, but I just didn't care, you know, I didn't care. I made the recipe. I didn't tell a damn soul and went about my day and had a beautiful holiday. But, you know, after that, I put it out of my head because I didn't want to deal with the fact that this had happened. But it piqued my curiosity. So I became very intentional and I started to question, you know, who were these beings that were speaking to me? Why were they speaking to me? And I started to get a lot of answers that really blew my mind. Jacob ended up being a very important guide for me during this awakening that I had, and told me that he was a soul partner in a past life. He was a young boy and he was lost. And I took him in and I clothed him and fed him and cared for him in that life. And he came back in this life indebted to me to help me find this path. And, I was told very early on that I was here in this life to be a channel. I was shown that I was here to channel for audiences, and I was told I was manifesting here during a very transitional time on the planet. And I was in huge resistance of that because it was not at all the life I had envisioned for myself. And I wasn't cool at all, even with the word channeling, you know. But what ended up happening, and I will back up and say, I did heal myself 100% of this chronic pain. And I don't want to say it's because my guides came in and did anything specific or gave me specific information, but I became so connected to source and to all of these beings that this synchronicity of, you know, it was like magic. It was something I could never replicate if I tried. All the right things showed up. I manifested the right practitioner who had the right background, and I got a diagnosis, and I got the right book, and then I had a nutritionist, and I changed everything about my life in that time, and ended up about a year and a half later off all medications, completely pain-free, and now 9 years later in the best physical shape of my entire life. But, you know, this intention that I had, it was like the driving factor for me to really uncover what was going on. And the messages started to come in beyond me. You know, I started to share them a little bit with friends and people that I felt were safe. Now, mind you, I was in this conventional world, so I wasn't going to bring this to the local PTA, you know. But in the same way synchronicity brought in the healing that I needed, it brought in the people. You know, I manifested a new tribe around me. And, you know, I had a lot of support. And these people began to say, you know, you really need to put these messages out there. And so it was a really interesting path or transition for me to go from that identity to who I am now.
Right. And you said this was 4 years ago?
Oh, I say I've been out there for about 4 years ago. This journey for me started about 9 years ago. Yeah.
Okay,
so I'm
okay.
About 9 years in. Yeah.
When you started, before you switched from conventional lifestyle to holistic and meditating, were you like part of any like religion or dogma? What were your belief systems before this?
I was raised Catholic, a very strict Catholic Italian family. So there was nothing in my world related to any of this conversation. So it was a big shift for me. And, you know, it was a personal journey of challenging my own religious beliefs and upbringing as I went through this process.
Right. So does the channeling, your channeling state, what kind of, because I know there's different forms of channeling, right? There's like conscious channeling, I believe, and then trans channeling. What type of channeling do you do?
Well, I do both, but I'm primarily a trans channel. So when I first started connecting, I, and it's still to this day, I really can't recall everything that is spoken through me. What ended up happening, Neil, was I would hear and then I would write because I really wanted to understand what was coming through. So I was getting one sentence, two sentences. I was writing in a journal. Well, as I went deeper into meditation, I was finding there was so much coming in that I couldn't remember it to write it down. So I started to voice record myself on my iPhone, and it really blew my mind because my voice would change. I would take on the personality, right, of these guides and beings. So I'm a trans channel for the most part. So when I do my live events, I am, my consciousness is completely out of the way. My ego is completely out of the way. I'm almost like an observer of the room, yet I don't remember everything that is said through me. However, saying that, I can also be a conscious channel at times as well. I can, I do a lot of channeled writing as well. So it's a little bit of both.
So is it like a constant stream of channeling information, like not only when you're channeling, but in just day-to-day waking life, are you receiving messages?
I am. You know, I have this constant banter going on. And I didn't, it's funny because I never thought of myself as having this gift as a young child until one day I was just routinely, you know, cleaning up the kitchen from a meal and I was having this banter in my head. And I stopped and I thought, oh, I used to do this as a kid. I remember I used to do this as a child.
Wow.
So yeah, I do almost have this constant, you know, thing going on where I can, I'm always having a conversation with something or somebody. But when I'm intentional about it and I go into trance, it's really a little bit different because, you know, my live events, I walk away and I know the gist, right? And I often hear the questions because my consciousness will come back in when there are audience questions being answered. But when I listen back almost to, you know, to write up a YouTube description or something, I'm really blown away by what was or what came through.
When you started meditating, like, was there a process or was there like classes for you to learn how to channel or was it all intuitive? Like, you were just meditating one day and this happened, or did you actually start pursuing something afterwards in order to kind of fine tune those skills?
I never did a class in this. I fell into it. It was a really strange period of my life. I just kind of started to do it. And for me, it was just the deep breath and concentrating on the breath. And I fell into it. And, you know, I believe I have the ability to see past lives, parallel lives, you know, obviously past, you know, present, they're all the same. But I've seen myself in other lives doing this. So I know that as I was going through this transformation, I was awakening within my DNA aspects of myself in other timelines that had done this before. And I believe we all do this. This is what ascension is about. We're awakening things that have been dormant within us for so long. And I believe that meditation is a really unique tool. And a lot of people want me to teach channeling and teach meditation. And number one, I don't think I'm here to do that. But number two, I just have seen how in my client sessions, people are so unique with how they tap in to information. You know, I'm real sensitive to hearing. You know, I can hear a pin drop. My kids could never sneak out of the house in the middle of the night. That's my sensitive area. And I always tell people, if you have a sensitive area like that, you know, going into meditation and just using the breath and focusing in that one area that's your strongest tool can be an awesome pathway to receiving communication. Because we're all channels. Mm. We're just unique in how we do it.
Yeah. For sure, yeah. I've heard many stories of different people channeling, and it's also unique to them. And it looks like, from what you're telling me, that a lot of people may be channeling in meditative state and just not be aware of it, or receiving messages and just not know that they're actually channeling and receiving it from some sort of other consciousness or their guide.
So common right now. I think that we negate so much of what we get because we think it's ourselves. And you know, one of the things that's going on right now on the planet that is a constant theme in my session work and in my channelings is we're really integrating the higher self component or the higher self piece of our structure. And the higher self connects differently than what, you know, our singular perception in an extrasensory gift does, because it's a more collective entity. So what's happening is a lot of people are, you know, even people who've channeled for a long period of time are coming to me and saying, you know, all of a sudden I don't channel the same way as I did before, or I lost the gift. And what's happening is the messages are so integrated with us now that it almost feels like a knowing. It just feels like a flow. And you really have to tune into that flow and feel the subtle difference, right, between you and that higher self. And I do this a lot in my live sessions lately. I have people just breathe into the soul and focus in the soul for a few minutes and then switch their vantage point to the higher self and feel the difference. It's like this massive, indefinite, you know, collective energy that comes in, and it integrates all of our extrasensory gifts as one. So I almost think we're in the midst of a major shift here where we're tapping in differently than what we did before.
Right. Could you explain to us what the higher self is in your perspective, and maybe even the oversoul, how they're connected?
Yeah. Well, I believe through, you know, what I've brought in here from these guides and beings I work with is we operate in three crystalline containers, they call them. The soul container is like our linear timeline. You know, it's our soul contracts. It's our identity as a singular being. It's all that stuff we experience as karma. That's the soul container. The higher self is a planetary collective structure. It's a perception that's bigger than our singular. And the reason this is so important right now is that we are connecting more as a one vibrationally on this planet than ever before. And that's the impetus for all of these things that we're bringing in, these new healing techniques and technologies and blockchain and all of this stuff, because no longer can we exist in these hierarchies, which were formed really through our soul vibration, through that soul container. And not to skew off of this question, but a lot of my channeling is based on a reptilian consciousness that is existing within the core of Mother Earth that has taken our soul perspective outside of its truth. And so what we've experienced in the soul container has been an alignment of hierarchies that isn't serving humanity. So this higher self container is a collective perspective. It's a collective vibration. It not only is encompassing of our linear timeline, but it also has knowledge of our fragmented soul pieces that exist in other timelines here on the earth. So when I think of the higher self, I think of our earthly experience as a one collective, as a human collective, but also it has the ability, like we were talking about, to draw in these extrasensory tools and gifts from other timelines and other experiences that we've had. The oversoul container is the universal platform. It's like our cosmic energy, and it connects us to our timelines in other dimensions, in Sirius, in Pleiades, in Arcturus. And we have many, we have many. What I believe here is happening right now is that our soul and our higher self containers are becoming integrated. And that's why we have a change in perspective. That's why now we're making different decisions that are more in alignment with the collective and where we need to be to heal what's happened here. A lot of people use and function in that oversoul container as well, but it hasn't fully become integrated. And when we talk about things like disclosure, for example, I think that we have different access to our Akashic record and these vehicles that allow us to receive information. So for example, we have all of these whistleblowers coming forward right now. And what's happening here on the planet to allow that is this oversoul piece really being accessed more and more. You know, we are allowing ourselves to dip in to the Akash in our universal identities, right? It's a frequency, and that's what's allowing this transition to also catapult us, right, beyond this human experience.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I feel, and I've read and I've experienced that a lot of times in like the collective field called the aura of the earth or the higher self or the oversoul, whatever, that there's a message, and a lot of people pick up on it at the same exact time of earth. And you see similar waves occurring, where whether it's like other multiple people having the awareness of decentralized monitoring, or the time of Buddha.
Nope, you cut out a little bit there, Neil. I'm really sorry, I didn't hear the last part of that.
Yeah, but it seems that in the collective consciousness, that there's a message or an equation, a code, in that many people pick up on at the same time. That for example, in the time of Buddha, many different enlightened beings and philosophers actually existed at the same time. Like, huge change makers existed at the exact same time as the Buddha. And it was almost like there was this frequency of awakening that occurred in the collective consciousness, and then people started all picking up on it at the same time, right? So are you saying, like, about the higher self again, are you saying that we don't have an individual higher self, but there is a collective one higher self, and we all share that higher self on Earth?
I do, and I believe that the higher self vehicle has a few different pathways, because I feel as if here on the planet, and there's a lot of different camps on this, you know, as we ascend, we're still going to maintain our individual or physical unique structures. You know, I don't think that we're here to operate as a one collective. I think that the way that we affect the collective is through our physical singular experience. So the higher self can be a pathway to assist that, because the higher self has knowledge of our divine blueprint and how that's expressing in other timelines. So when I talk about the blueprint, I think we all come with an intention, and I think that intention is unique to us. I don't think that it's set in stone. I don't think it's something we all struggle over our purpose, right? What's my purpose? I don't think there's any one purpose that we came for. I think we came with an intention, and we have free will to express that intention however we so choose. And the higher self knows of that intention. We made that in a collective space. So that collective energy assists us in understanding how that intention runs through. So what I often notice, Neil, is in my sessions is that through the soul container, through our linear timeline, we'll experience things in our lives. And these could be karmic things or struggles that most apply to what that intention is, because our soul experiences it from the human relationship, and our higher self is here to bring purpose to it, such that we see it in a way that all humans have a relationship to who we are and what we're experiencing. And many of us come to serve that. So I think that's one pathway of the higher self, but I do think the higher self is the plug-in for us to maintain this one collective energy. Cause let's face it, you know, if we don't understand by now that we're sacred geometry in motion, right? We're all connected. Mm-hmm. So everything that we do in our singular container or our soul container affects everything else. And see, I think that's really what that collective energy that we're bringing in of a higher self is about. It's like a responsibility, you know, it's a collective perspective for us to see on a day-to-day basis the decisions that we're making and how they affect the collective.
All right. So do we sometimes not fulfill our intention then? Since we have free will and come to this planet, do we always fulfill our intention or not?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that we sometimes fulfill it in ways that we don't understand, because if we are experiencing something at the soul level, and we might struggle through it or suffer through it a little bit, but we get to the other side, that in itself is shifting a timeline. So even though we might not make the connection of how we've served karma in our lives, we still are in many ways fulfilling that intention. But also remember, we're fragmented. So we're only seeing through this very narrow window of perspective, right? So we have timelines running consecutively where this intention runs like a common thread. So we may be doing things in this life that are assisting other lives to fulfill the intention as well.
Right.
But what I will say is I think more and more what I have seen, and, you know, to your end, to the opening comments that you made about what's happening here on the planet, every day I have clients coming to me that are stepping into that intention. So I think we've been blocked from it because there's a reptilian collective here that's focused us in the mind. And we've not been creating in alignment with that divine blueprint or intention. We've been directed away from it. So I think that some of us in the past and past generations haven't necessarily fulfilled the intention because we've been manipulated through the mind to not understand this collective vantage point that we're bringing in now. But I can tell you there are amazing things happening on the planet because I work with clients every day who are stepping into these intentions in a big way and bringing incredible things to the planet. So I think it's happening. I think we're moving into the time when fulfilling the intention is going to be something pretty automatic, you know?
Right. It's almost like as soon as we all collectively fulfill this intention or we hit a critical mass, we shift into a whole different reality. We're living more harmoniously with the planet and each other.
Right. Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening right now. We're shifting timelines. And, you know, a lot of my channeled work is focused on the grids. And, you know, the guides explain it like this. We have an old material third dimensional grid that's here still connected to the planet. And that old material grid was actually disconnected from universal support because there's a Council of Light that oversees the grids and the way information flows between planets and star systems and races and collectives. And their only intention is to uphold the integrity of that information, because if we're creating something here on our planet that could be a catastrophic event and it has the ability to skew a timeline elsewhere, they'll come in and they'll manipulate the grids because they can't override our free will. They can, but they won't, because it's a complicated energy to fuss with. But this third dimensional grid has been segmented. It's broken. It does not connect to universal support. But many of us still have timelines in that old grid. You know, we formed relationships there. We formed our identities there, our work there. But because we've raised our consciousness and because of all these new things that are coming to the forefront now on our planet, there's a new grid. And this is a multidimensional grid, and it is connected to universal support. So what I see right now is almost like this push-pull. It's a split of timelines. It's people wrestling with tying up the loose ends in this old material grid and shifting their timelines to this new multidimensional grid. And that's really the crux of what we're in the midst of right now.
Would you say that our intention, because is our intention always an empowerment, or could our intention be to be disempowered and even a victim because we're just contributing an experience back to the collective?
Ooh, well, I'm going to say I personally don't agree that our intention could be something that was disempowering, because I'll tell you why. I think that we agree on this intention from a space of oneness, from collective connection. So when we come into these singular identities, we have an intention that's collectively focused. But what I truly believe you're speaking to is the way we've been led away from our collective focus and into singularity. And that's really been the inherent problem. So we create through our emotional body. Our emotional body is really the frequency of how we create vibrational potentials. So I'll give you an example. In my session work, the guys will always come in and talk about potentials that you have running non-physically and show you the potential that you hold to create. Because our mind, as we focus our mind and we have a strong emotional response, we create these potentials, which are patterns we have running in our energy. And the way that they manifest into physical is that we match them, right, through our frequency. So we have potentials that are disempowering, and we've been led into this singular perception where we're not supported by source energy. We have to figure it out. We have to make money. We have to do something to, fit into society. All these things have matched a frequency of these potentials we have running that don't serve us. So are they serving our intention? They're running, and they're giving us an opportunity to, from that higher vantage point, the higher self, make a connection between what we've chosen, what we've created, and how we're here to serve, right? So,
right.
Yeah. So I think I think our collective intention is always something that is of higher service. It's just the way we perceive it is the
right.
key, and so we have this golden, tool of perception, which is so valuable here on the planet. How we perceive is everything.
Will this Earth still exist when we, the third dimensional reality of Earth, in the construct of the understanding that time doesn't exist, will this third dimensional Earth still exist when we fulfill our collective intention?
I think that the Earth is going to still exist, but I think that we're going to be focused in different dimensional realities for a while. So these grids are just different dimensional realities existing on the Earth at the same time. Because, let's face it, many of us in this movement, we can choose to focus in all of the good stuff coming down the pipeline, right? Or we can choose to focus on all of the crap we have going on the planet. We create our reality through that perception, and we end up matching a vibration. And that's really what this dimensional split is all about. I think that this material grid, there are some that will choose through their free will to remain mm-hmm. focused in that dimension, and they're probably going to struggle a bit more and suffer a bit more than those that are making the shift right now to a new multidimensional perspective. I think as a collective.
So how does that look then?
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. How does it look in physical?
How does it look if people are choosing through their free will a different dimensional experience than other people are choosing? Will there be, like it's been said before, a splitting of the world? Will we vibrate out of existence and no longer see these people anymore? How will that look?
No, I don't think that that's the case. I don't think that we're going to vibrate out of this world. I think that those of us who are focused on creating in the new grid are here as conduits to offer the opportunity for those who aren't choosing that reality to choose it as well. And I see it all the time. Okay, so let's focus on my family for a minute. Catholic Italian family, not in this conversation. They aren't really into this channeling world that I'm in. They know that I do it. They don't really want to have anything to do with it. And I don't force it on them. But at the same time, I've seen them make very subtle changes in their reality. I don't want to say that because of me, but I want to say that we are all vibrational beings in a connection of one. So if I'm making certain choices in my life, that cannot help but vibrationally affect others. It doesn't mean they're going to choose that reality, but it is an opportunity. And I think the advantage that we have right now is the Earth is supporting us. So the Earth as a being raising her vibration, what's happened here, this is what the guides have said, is that we're actually all vibrating at a similar speed. And when I say this, people get really confused because they think, well, surely I'm not vibrating at the same speed as my neighbor down the street who's real cranky and mean and yelling at the kids to get off the front grass, right? But actually, this was the first step in raising the Schumann frequency such that we all vibrate at the same speed. Because when you think about a hierarchy, we look at the hierarchies as being physical, but they started energetically, right? So it was important for us to now all vibrate at the same speed, such that these hierarchies energetically would begin to crumble. And we kind of see that right now. We're starting to see the effects of that speed of vibration. But just because you're vibrating at the same speed as your neighbor doesn't mean that you're using your free will to apply that perspective in your life, okay? But what it does mean is he has more of a collective connection now to receive something from you in non-physical. And so I think that's what's going to happen. I think that this old grid, you know, I don't think this is going to happen tomorrow, Neil. I think we have, you know, many years of transition here. And I think we're going to have two different dimensional realities existing on the same earth. I think we're still going to be embodied in human form. I believe those of us who are vibrating in the new grid are integrating more of our light bodies, becoming more telepathic, which means we're affecting those third dimensional, you know, focused humans more than ever before. So eventually that third dimensional grid has got to dissolve.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to dissolve without some struggle, without some, you know, difficulty. And, you know, we have some generations here on the planet that, you know, they can't accept that conversation just yet. And maybe they'll be leaving the planet before all of this, you know, finally comes to a head. But as we move into the 2020s, you know, we can see it if we look at the astrology cycles. You know, we're moving into that age of Aquarius, that time of heaven on earth, living as a one community. And I think the signs are already here, you know, of that starting. So no, I don't think we exist in two different dimensions. I don't think some of us, you know, leave the earth. I think we're all here together in this, but we end up in the right place.
Right. Could you elaborate a little more on dimensions and densities? Is there a dimension, for example, where we stop being physical?
Oh, that's a good question. We should ask this one in channeling. And I'll speak to my vantage point.
We can do that. We'll start yeah. channeling in like 4 minutes, and I'll ask you that one then.
Yeah, we'll channel that answer into. Well, we have these 12 strands of DNA, okay? And we have carbon DNA, which is physically focused, and we have crystalline DNA, which is more of our universal energy experience. And these are just records. It's like a library of information. And so what I believe is that each dimension is just allowing more access, more expansion, more information. So when we're in a third dimensional focus as a collective, which we've been for a long time, we've had limited access to our crystalline DNA and the information in that crystalline DNA. But it also relates to speed of vibration, because I think in each dimension, there's a faster speed of vibration. And this alludes to your density question. So a lot of people think, well, you know, we're the bottom of the totem pole here as humans because we chose this physical reality. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think we can hold a density in the physical body, but we can still vibrate in a higher dimension, and we can shape shift, and we can manifest, and, you know, we can heal, and we can do all these amazing things. And that's what we're moving into. So as we raise our dimension, right. we have more access to information. This is how disclosure is happening. You know, when we have an ancient discovery all of a sudden come to the planet, you know, that ancient discovery wasn't hidden from us. It just exists in a different dimension. And now our consciousness as a collective matched that speed of dimension such that we have access to this information. So that's why disclosure is coming so fast, you know.
Wow.
That's
amazing. You know, that's really interesting because for a long time I've been saying that I feel like multiple dimensional Earths are all timelines are all converging into this reality for us. And a lot of things that just didn't even exist are all of a sudden appearing, like archaeological finds that maybe didn't exist on the Earth, this Earth 100 years ago. And what seems to be happening is because when I hear all these stories about the Anunnaki, the Syrians, the Lyrans, and I look at the timelines that are given by scriptures and researchers, a lot of different things are happening at the same exact time, some of which just doesn't seem to make sense. And the way I've kind of like conceptualized that is that all these realities are real, but they're different timelines of Earth. And now they're all converging into one where inhabitants from all those realities are coexisting on this planet. What's your take on that?
I totally agree with that. And I'll take it a step further because I think that's what we're experiencing in our singular realities too. You know, it's like a timeline convergence of our fragmented soul pieces coming together. This is our access, you know, and the guides will say it all the time. Even, you know, I'll give you an example. I have a lot of people that feel this very strong connection with, you know, Jesus or the Christ timeline. And they'll come into session and say, you know, I want to know my relationship to that timeline. Who was I? What did I do there? And it never fails. The guides will say that there were multiple Christ timelines that we perceive so narrow and we perceive so physical. And there were actually multiple timelines, and they'll bring in multiple answers and information about how people were involved in that energy. So we are all with one thing, or one with all things, I should say. And it makes sense to me that there is no time and everything happens at the same time. And that, you know, if you believe in sacred geometry and that connection of all things through that energy, we're with every action we're taking, with every decision we're making, we are affecting all of our timelines. We can affect history just by a decision that we make in the now, because we're that tied, right, to all things. So yeah, I completely agree with that. I think it makes sense. It comes into my channeling a lot. But especially right now, I think in our singular reality, we're experiencing a timeline convergence there. We're pulling in gifts and information from other timelines, and we are becoming more, I don't want to say whole, but I want to say multidimensional, I guess, in our information. Yeah,
I like that. So we do have around 13 minutes left, and I want to do have 3 minutes with you at least at the end. So why don't we go into the channeling right now for about 10 minutes?
Okay, sure. All right. Just want to bring in a general message.
Yeah, if you want to start out, you said that the dimension thing was good for the channeling. So if you want to maybe start with that or in a general message.
Let's do that. We're going to connect with the Council of Light. And they say that we are pleased to address this collective. We are a council that is made up of many races. We are 12th dimensional in our energy, and we have a singular intention. That intention is to override and review the energy that flows through the universal time grid, through all races, through all beings, and through all dimensional locations. We wish to answer the question that you have placed regarding dimensions and densities. And the way in which we will do this for you is especially moving into the Earth, because many of you recognize that there is a relationship between the outer and inner Earth. And there have been many on your planet who have brought information forward about workings of collective energies and beings living within the inner core of Mother Earth. This is the way in which your singular vantage point is perceiving multiple dimensional reality, because as Mother Earth is a living, breathing being, and you are connected to her, you are always in the midst of both a collective and singular perception through your free will. And the dimension that you hold as a collective is often quite different than the dimension or the perception you hold as a singular being. So when we go into the inner Earth, for example, as a relationship to this concept, what we can say is all dimensions exist within the Earth. She has a 12-strand DNA, and that 12-strand DNA is fully activated and crystallized. And because of that, there are multiple dimensional timelines running through and of Earth that many humans may relate to. Of course, many humans may time travel into the core of Earth and experience any one of these timelines based on their vibrational match. So each dimension is holding a specific speed of vibration that must be matched within the crystalline core of either a collective or a singular being. Your human race vibrates as a one, and there is a makeup or a sound vibration between all beings. So to give you an example, you as a singular being may have activated 7 strands of DNA crystallized. What that means is you have access into 7 different dimensions. However, having that access relates to the density that you hold and the collective energy that you can also access, because you are a member of a collective race. The collective race holds dimension or speed very similarly, but it is a makeup of all vibrational speeds as one. So on this planet, if we were to add up the vibrational speed of every single human being in this collective and average that speed as a dimension, we would say that humans are vibrating in a fourth dimensional reality. Their density is only the component of how they are using and accessing this information as a creative subset of their frequency, meaning that you are creating in physical. Of course, that physical creation begins in the non-physical structure, and that non-physical structure holds a relationship to all things as well. So when we go into the inner earth versus the outer earth, many have the perspective that the outer earth is human in a third to fourth dimensional reality, and the inner earth holds various dimensional speeds and relationships to energy. But ultimately, the earth holds 12 different dimensional realities. You are only perceiving one in your human form. And if you have access into the seventh dimension, you may time travel or shapeshift, or project yourself into timelines of the earth that are different than those that are experienced through your collective vantage point. Now, much of this is changing very quickly. You, as humans, have raised your vibration and have accepted a new collective consciousness such that the earth is manifesting for you, we'll say, the components, the cooperative components that are needed to draw and magnetize to you what matches that new speed. And this is an ongoing process. But ultimately, especially in the current timeline you are in as a collective human race, you have been subject to a variety of solar frequencies as well as lunar frequencies that have been very intense and directly related to the Earth crystalline core and your own crystalline core. There is a new magnetized energy that is coming through the Earth that is culminating in the mid-2018 linear year. We preface this as a pole shift, but when we say this, we want to completely explain or define what we mean by this pole shift, because many in their human form will relate to past and will relate specifically to physical events of this pole shift. You see, pole shifts are never the same. You are not the same, and you affect everything that goes on within the collective. So it's an interplay. This 12-strand DNA that Mother Earth holds, the 12-strand DNA that you hold, there is a relationship between the two. So what we see happening right now is that the planetary alignments are calling for a different focus within Mother Earth of information, and this is what a pole shift is. The magnetics change, such that information is coming from a different dimensional reality and is through the grid lines of Mother Earth into the grid lines of each singular structure. This is a massive upgrade for humanity. And we believe that this will, again, cause dimensional access on your planet to change. So dimensional access is a shifting vibration. It is something that can be held in a singular structure through intention and free will, but it is through your collective race held as a measurement or an average of all beings vibrating at different speeds. The access to the dimensions within Earth is allowed by the way that your collective reality holds this speed.
All right, thank you. So I'm going to ask another question here that moves from the dimensions, but Michaela was talking about her connection to reptilians. Could you tell us about the reptilian race? There's been a lot of information about negative, so unquote, reptilians, but who are the reptilians and are they all negative?
The Pleiadians step in to answer this question. They're very pleased. They say that there are reptilians that exist within the universal time grid. These reptilians are made up of many different dimensions and many different intentions. The reptilian collective as a whole experienced a cataclysmic event in which there was a timeline split. In this timeline split, there were a group or a collective of reptilians that found themselves in a very difficult predicament. The reason for this is that the reptilian collective has a different structure than you do, and they found themselves displaced from their original star system or home. And because of this displacement, they were not able to create through the structure as it has been evolved. When we speak of reptilians, we can look at physical and non-physical. And of course, there are benevolent and those that have been focused in the opposite of benevolent activity. But we must always look at intention. There is a reptilian collective or consciousness that has taken up home in the core of Mother Earth. And the reason for this was this displacement. They operate through a creative source energy of mind. And they do not possess an emotional body or structure. And they do not possess a relationship to Mother Earth as physical beings. So these are energetic beings that held an intention to create. But when they found themselves within the core of Mother Earth, they needed a conduit for this creation because they found that the vibrations did not suit their extrasensory abilities to manifest. So what began to happen was an evolution through which reptilians were accessing the human mind and the human structure, trying to integrate themselves as a part of the human collective. What began to happen was a chain of events in which human DNA became manipulated by its reptilian counterpart. In other words, all of you have multidimensional and multi-raced DNA. You were seeded here by a variety of races in the highest intention, including the reptilians. But you see, what happened was many within their reptilian dominant genes had an activation of their reptilian history due to the close proximity of these beings within your Earth. And as they began operating through the mind, humans began to be taken outside of their original egoic structure such that reptilian energy could create through the mind. And intentions began to change because as humans began to create through the mind, they lost the divine feminine or the component of compassion that the emotional body allows. The emotional body is also an organism that connects humanity as a one collective. So humans began to separate themselves from this one collective and begin to focus in their singularity. Through time, this has evolved into quite a catastrophic timeline for the Earth. But what we wish to say is that there is a chain of events that has already begun to enable this reptilian collective to leave your Earth and be reintegrated into their own collective. Many believe that these reptilians should be brought to justice or in some way be held responsible for their actions. But you see, through universal law, they cannot accept karma here on this earth unless they are reintegrated into their own race. There are many reptilian beings that are a part of the Council of Light in this 12th dimensional energy that is also speaking through this channel. Those that are on the council have a strong desire to reintegrate these reptilian collectives back into their home such that they can serve their karma and ascend with their own race.
Thank you so much. We only have a couple minutes left, so no more questions. Thank you.
Okay.
You back?
I am, yeah.
Awesome, thank you. We could have gone down the reptilian question forever. I have like a million questions about that. So maybe another
yeah.
time. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
That's amazing. And so let me ask you this question then. I wanted to touch on disclosure. What's your take on disclosure and what's going on right now on the planet? Is there going to be a mass disclosure within our lifetimes where everybody knows the existence of extraterrestrials?
I think it's inevitable, and I think it's already happening. I mean, let's face it, if we don't think disclosure has already happened, right? I mean, we're kind of, but at the same time, what I want to say that is a really significant message that's been brought in is we really have to understand that disclosure is coming from within. So everything that we're receiving right now on the planet is that vibrational match to information that's held in another dimension. And sometimes we want to force it, we want to push it, we want to hold people responsible. When we do that, we tend to gravitate back to that old material grid where things slow down. And I think this is the push-pull that we're experiencing right now with disclosure. But I think walking into 2018, 2019, it's inevitable that we're going to have more information come to light because we're already on that trajectory. We're already matching that information and with what the guides have been talking about as a pole shift. I just wrote an article about this, Neil. I'll just direct your audience to you know, my Facebook page or Awaken Empowered Magazine online.
Please provide all your information. Yeah. We only have 30 seconds left, so go for it.
Yes, there's some good information there. So all of my channels, videos are out on YouTube, Awaken Empowered Expo YouTube channel, or my own, Michaela Sheldon. You can go to michaelasheldon.com. And we have a magazine. I do a lot of free channeled articles there, Awaken Empowered Magazine, or just search me on Facebook. All the good stuff is there too.
Beautiful. Well, Michaela, this has been extremely enlightening, even more than I expected. So I'm extremely grateful to be connected with you. And I'm really excited to have you be a part of the conference and add your energy to it. So thank you for all you do. And I'm excited to see where we're going to go in the future together.
Awesome. I'm excited. Thanks for having me, Neil.
Thank you, Michaela. Have a beautiful day. Talk later.
You too. Bye-bye.